Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is the scripture lesson which was just read. Sometimes Christians can get so excited about fulfilling the mission of the church that the hard realities of the kingdom of God are overlooked. The church has been given that great task of carrying out the great commission of our Lord to make disciples of all nations, but yet Jesus never said this would be an easy thing to do. It's not that difficult to make plans for evangelism or to arrange for doing mission work, but yet when it comes to getting these things accomplished, sometimes the church falls short of achieving its goals. Bringing souls into the kingdom of God is not some business venture that always produces results that are predictable. In fact, experience shows us that it's rather hard to win new converts to the Christian faith. Faith itself is always a gift from God, but yet not everyone is willing to receive the gift that the Lord is willing to offer. People can hear the message of God's word and even attend a worship service at church, but that does not guarantee they become followers of Jesus Christ. As Jesus says in our text, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. In today's scripture lesson from Mark chapter 10, we hear about a rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Of course, Jesus knew exactly what was in this man's heart. And first, Jesus tries to correct this man's misunderstanding of the term good. Jesus says, "No one is good except God alone." If this young man was willing to call Jesus good, then why was he not also willing to recognize Jesus as God instead of just referring to him as teacher? Next, Jesus drew his attention to the Ten Commandments that all faithful Jews would have known from childhood. And the rich young man quickly answered, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." And then Jesus said, "You still lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And at this, the young man went away sad, for he had great wealth. He was not willing to forsake his earthly treasures for the heavenly treasure of Jesus Christ. Here is an example of someone who came face to face with the Son of God and heard that gracious invitation to come follow the Lord, but yet this person turned his back on Jesus Christ. Obviously, not everyone who had contact with Jesus became one of his followers. And this man was not even a bad person by the standards of this world. He was not a criminal nor a thief. He was not a murderer nor an adulterer. Apparently, he was a fine, moral, decent person within the community. However, Jesus knew that he was lacking in one aspect. Within his heart, this man was held captive by the love of money. He may have outwardly kept the commandments that Jesus mentions, but he did not truly keep the first commandment, which said, "You shall have no other gods before me." What seemed like a sincere desire to obtain eternal life by means of doing some good deed became an insurmountable obstacle for this rich young man to overcome. Even Jesus' own disciples were so amazed at hearing this entire conversation, they said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Our text reminds us, no one can enter the kingdom of God without first being confronted by the realities of sin. By nature, man is not worthy of the kingdom of God, nor can man do any good deed to merit his way into the favor of God. All of us must confess that we are unworthy beggars in the eyes of a holy Lord. The message of the law must first do its work before the gospel of God's grace can take hold in our lives. The rich young man claimed to keep all the requirements of the law, but yet on the inside, his heart was devoted to the love of money. He had to first acknowledge his sin of greed before he could truly follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, of course, Jesus was not instituting poverty as the means of entering his kingdom. There were others who were faithful followers of the Lord who had significant earthly wealth, and yet they were not excluded from God's kingdom, nor were they told to sell all of their possessions. People like Zacchaeus, Joseph of Arimathea, even Abraham, the Jewish patriarch himself, these men were not poor in terms of worldly goods, but yet they were certainly rich in faith toward God. However, no one, rich or poor, can enter the kingdom of God without first acknowledging their sinfulness. True evangelism cannot ignore the message of the law that humbles those who are proud in their own hearts and convicts those who are self-assured in their worldly ways of living. The law must first expose the sin that dwells so deeply in the hearts of all men and women. In fact, the first sermon that Jesus preached, according to the Gospel of Mark, was repent and believe the good news. Repentance and forgiveness of sins, that's the true Christian message that Jesus gave his apostles to bring people into his heavenly kingdom. The church here on earth must carefully avoid that temptation to quote-unquote market the gospel in only the most appealing ways, as if converts can be won simply by salesmanship or by the power of worldly persuasion. Jesus never used sales gimmicks as he dealt with those searching for religious truth. You may remember that when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus did not reshape his message just to make it sound a little more enticing. And Nicodemus was a man of great power and social prestige. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. But yet Jesus said to him, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was not afraid to speak the humble truth, even to someone as important and as powerful as Nicodemus. And likewise, in our text for today, Jesus shows he is no respecter of persons. If ever there was an individual who would be humanly desirable to have within the church, this man was it. He was young, he was rich, he was a morally upstanding citizen of society. What congregation or pastor today would not want to have a church member like this on their membership rolls? In fact, many in today's modern church, they try to cater to seekers just like this, the young and the rich, offering them all kinds of worldly attractions and amenities in the name of Jesus Christ. But yet we see in our text, Jesus told this rich young man to sell everything he had, give it to the poor, and then follow him. But as our scripture lesson says, Jesus did this out of love. Our text says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's not that Jesus loved to preach the law and to lay a big guilt trip on everyone. Instead, Jesus loved this young man enough to point out his spiritual failings and his personal shortcomings so that he might confess his sins and turn from his ungodly ways. Jesus preached the law for the sake of love, to lead this man out of the slavery of his own sin. The truth is that no one can enter the kingdom of God, rich or poor, unless they first humble themselves and become like a little child. Jesus once said, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The fact that anyone becomes a Christian is a miracle. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can sinners forsake their evil ways and place their trust in Christ alone. Only by means of preaching both the law and the gospel are individuals brought to the baptismal font, where they receive that washing of regeneration that removes the guilt of their sin. The proud must first become humble. The greedy must turn away from the love of money. And the wise must become foolish to receive that simple message of repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Through the simple means of holy baptism, unworthy sinners are washed clean from their sins and made alive to God as his adopted sons and daughters. There are no shortcuts into the kingdom of God, and there's no easy way around the law's exposure of our sin. Conversion is truly a spiritual death and a resurrection of the sinful human heart. The Word of God in both the Law and the Gospel must be allowed to do their work, and then only by God's grace and through the merits of Christ are sinners brought into the kingdom through faith and not by works. Let us humbly acknowledge that we can't make other people become Christian by worldly methods or through secular means. Instead, we're merely called to be faithful witnesses of the grace of God that has first transformed our selfish lives from out of the darkness of sin into the eternal blessings of God's heavenly light. May God grant us that childlike faith to accept we are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ, so that we may faithfully and lovingly proclaim this truth as a witness to all people, to both the rich and the poor alike. In Jesus' name, amen.